Nice to be here. Nice to see everyone here. And it's loud enough. You can hear back there. Let's maybe move this a little closer to me. Okay. That's fine. And anyone have any questions?
I had one.
You always have. He had his hand up first.
Dormash, this, I don't know where the statement came from, but somebody said that all the living entities, Srila Prabhupada said that the living entities start out initially as trees, all living entities start out as trees in Shantaras, and then from there they progress into all different varieties of grasses and varieties of forms.
Where is this? Where is this supposed to be taking place?
It was supposed to, this is in the spiritual, when the living entities first created, it's created in Shantaras as a tree, and then it develops from that. It assumes particular forms according to whatever Krishna for his pleasure.
Never seen it. Would you?
Well, I think you were saying in one podcast a little while ago that the living entity starts in Shantaras.
I didn't say that. There's one quote I was reading from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur about how he talks about the entanglement of the living entity, and that's certainly open for different types of understanding. He says that he starts in a neutral position, doesn't say he starts in a ras. Let's say it starts from a neutral position. But that's the starts as a tree and then goes on. That's not. Thing is, we're here. That's the main problem. And the ras that we have is, well, it's certainly Madhurya ras. But it's of the other variety. It's not of the spiritual variety. You don't have any more Madhurya rats? Well, Devan. So we certainly need to at least start off. We certainly start off in a mood of dasyaras, learning how to become a servant. That's why we get this name das, dasi, because we're to be servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to be servants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. So what does it really mean to be a servant? You're only a servant when you do service. Otherwise, it's just a name. It's like you call someone Smith and he's an architect. But Smiths are blacksmiths, they're not architects. Similarly, a das, Nitya Krishna das, das means that we're doing service, and it's that mood of service that one has to actually really perfect in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. So we certainly start off anyway, that's our eternal relationship in serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's no other rasa other than dasya. Everyone is in dasya ras. In his lila and so on, there are other relationships, but they're also all dominated by and driven by this mood of servitude. But as far as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's other followers, so like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mother, one relationship, and Lord Nityananda is in another. But still, everyone's saying, Dasa, Dasa, Anudas. I forget the Bengali. So that relationship of servitude dominates, and all good members of the Gaudiya Vaishnava family, all Gaudiya Vaishnavas, aspiring Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they're always in this mood. There's no question of developing any type of other relationship with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu other than that of servitude. The other relationships are cultivated with Krishna, but that's only when this mood of Das becomes perfected. And how do you know it becomes perfected? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives you his blessings. So in the way that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for instance, told Jiva Goswami, when he came to Vrindavan, he says, now you should worship me in my form as Radha and Krishna. So when you get that type of blessing, then that's what the perfection of service means. Otherwise, it's a tall order, and it's something that we concentrate on. First, of course, we start off with what is my service, and then everyone has common service. Chanting 16 rounds, that's the first service everyone has. And following regulative principles, they're not really service, they're just sort of obligations or vows. Chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And then we get some kind of specific service that's allotted to us by Vaishnavas, by the society, by a spiritual master. You worship the deity, or someone's distributing books, or someone is donating, or who knows what their particular service may be. And then that service and the service attitude, that's something that we need to actually perfect. The service is something to perfect. If someone's a cook, then they should perfect being a cook. It's ultimately, everything that's offered to Krishna should be done in the best possible way. Sometimes that sort of mentality, well, Krishna accepts the devotion, so if I have the devotion, it doesn't matter if I cook nicely or not. He'll accept it anyway. So that becomes Namaparan. In other words, it means that I'm just like chanting Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna, it doesn't matter what I do, Krishna will accept it anyway. No. If the devotion is really there, then the devotion will become manifest, at least in the effort. At least in the effort that we make, the effort, Krishna says, always endeavoring for perfection. So the devotee always wants to do whatever has got better and better and better. Why? Because Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu deserve the best. And we can never really give them what they actually deserve because we're very, very far from doing the best. So there, Krishna is situated in a state, well, as he says in the Bhagavad Gita, vyakta avyakta, it says, I'm beyond the fallible and the infallible. Krishna's in his own dimension. Own dimension, Krishna creates dimensions. So Krishna's in his own realm. Mataparataram nanyat, no one's equal to Krishna, no one compares to him. Even Krishna's expansions, when the cows came running down Govardhan Hill towards their calves, and the cowherd men were showing so much affection to the cowherd boys, so it was only then, it took 1 year for Lord Balaram, he didn't figure out what was going on. He just knew that something was going on that he wasn't aware of. And Krishna had to explain to him what it was. And Lord Balaram's Krishna, or at least his form of the Lord, Krishna's first expansion. So Krishna's like in a realm of their own, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a realm of their own, and we really can't match them. Nothing that we really do that's suitable, but we have to try. So Srila Prabhupada was writing in a letter when some devotees said, how can we repay you for giving us Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada said, you can't, but you should try. You should keep trying. So that then is the attitude of a servant, that they always want to do better and better, and they're always very eager to learn and always very eager to perfect their service, whatever service they have, and that service is very important because it actually solidifies my identity. It strengthens my identity as actually Krishna Das, that mood. So both of these things, this is how Rupa Goswami begins by describing what is actually bhakti. That although bhakti is a sentiment within the heart, devotion is a sentiment, but actually when it's expressed through the senses to please Krishna, then that is called devotional service. So this the idea of that I have bhakti or devotion to Krishna doesn't really come to the stage of being accepted by the Lord as pure devotional service, even if one has love for Krishna. Or to put it a little clearer, that there are these five stages: Santa, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya Ras. So the Santa Ras means that one has a feeling of devotion for Krishna, and that devotion is so mature that it qualifies as prema. And sometimes it's considered to be one of the five rasas. But in a strict sense, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't really accept, and Srila Prabhupada explains that in Nectar Devotion, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't really accept this Shantara Ras as a real aspect of pure devotional service. Because there's no service. There's just a sentiment. It's a very advanced sentiment. So the very advanced Gyani Bhaktas and the great sages, either in Himalayas or, of course, great sages, they're sages in Goloka. But they don't do anything. They appreciate Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is so wonderful. They have a great, but they don't come forward to do something. Because they don't come forward to do anything, therefore they're sort of in a category of their own, or they're actually not in the category of servant. So service begins with dasya, that someone's actually doing something. And that's why Rupa Goswami describes this bhakti ras is there, the taste of the service, but this bhakti seva is executed through the senses. And how do you know that something's evolving within? Because you're always endeavoring for perfection, as Krishna says. And then Mamcha Yovya Bicharina Bhakti Yogina Sevati Sagunan Samati Taitan Brahma Buyaya Kapati. It's by that type of devotional service, by that service that's never hampered and never interrupted by any type of obstruction, that one continually executes in all circumstances, that then becomes the means for transcending the modes of material nature. So that's why we're here in this Krishna consciousness movement. And this movement is systematically offering everyone opportunity to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's a very, very valuable thing. It's a very important thing. You can see it's the way in which you transcend the modes. It's the way in which one becomes recognized by Krishna. It's actually the way in which pure devotional service will manifest in due course of time. So, not as Shanta, but we start off in this mood of Dasya. And when one perfects that Dasya, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will give direction as to how one should serve Krishna in Vrindavan. Okay, Maharani, you had a question.
It's not really a question, because I was reading now Vajra Mahima, and you gave it so many references, why you read so many books. So in order to go to those references, tell me you read all those books, Vajra Mahima. So,
I read them, or I read through them.
So I was thinking you're the most intelligent personality I know in my life.
No, that's not true.
It is true for me.
If I was intelligent, I wouldn't be here.
I think
you know who Mark Twain is?
Yes.
So he said that. He said the good ones never left.
First, I want to say thank you, Guru Maharaj, for coming and seeing us.
Sometime
to give us away.
Maharani. Hare Krishna. Sometimes read books, but sometimes read through them. And read through means that you don't necessarily read all the books, but you read relevant portions of the books. Because then after a while you sort of forget. And sometimes someone asked me something the other day about Tafa Vraja Mahima. I couldn't reply, didn't know where it was, or... Oh no, it was someone else. That was Ramadevi. That was not number of mine, it was another book. I just couldn't remember. Anyway, that's another defect. We forget.
And thank you, Guru Maharaj, for writing our Vajra Mahima for us. Thank you. For helping us.
It was a lot of work. I think I sacrificed a good portion of the Hungarian yatra to do that, and quite a few devotees is in the process as well, just by not giving them as much attention as I normally would.
Two questions in relation to what you were just speaking about. What's the qualification then to be a servant in Shantya, Ras? And is that a living entity's eternal position? If there were to be a tree, a blade of grass, what's the qualification if our intention is to be in the mood of Dasya? And yeah, is that a living entity's eternal
position? No, here. Here in Krishna consciousness, when we say dasa, it doesn't mean that that's our constitutional form. It means that we're, as practicing devotees, we're servants, das.
Okay.
And that's our relationship. And with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as if one becomes perfected, then it will always be dasa. Simultaneously, when they have a different relationship with Radha and Krishna, with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's always like that. And actually, in Goloka, trees are not in just neutrality, but everyone has there are mixtures of mellows. And so exclusive neutrality, for instance, is like that, is sages who really stay distant. But trees are not completely in a stage of neutrality because they offer service. They offer fruits, they offer flowers, they offer shade, they do things. And Krishna accepts that service. So all of those, just like Srimati Radharani, all of the relationships are in her. They come from her. So she's also Krishna's friend, and she's also sometimes behaves as a parent, but her dominant mood, and she serves Krishna, is that of a beloved. But those things are really, they're concepts that we should know. They constitute our theology. But ultimately, this our primary business is how is it that we are practicing Krishna consciousness, and how we're executing our own prescribed duty. Srila Prabhupada was very, very down to earth and very much emphasized the fact that everyone has a prescribed duty, and svesve karmani abhirata samsiddhi lagyate nara. One becomes perfect by executing their prescribed duty. So we have to learn how to do our duties perfectly, whatever that duty may be. And that's not dasya ras, that's just being a das, being a servant. And then everything else, ultimately everything comes naturally by the grace of Krishna, by the grace of the holy name. As mentioned before, just like trees or a plant, they grow. They're a seed, there's nothing there in the very beginning, but you water it, you just keep watering it, and everything will come. So shravan, kirtan, sorry, kore, sechan. So it's the bhakti lata, beej is also like that, it's a little seed. And if you water it by chanting and hearing, then it grows and grows. And if you're doing it right, then the leaves come, the flowers come, the fruit comes, everything comes. But trying to make it come is just like if you think, well, water makes a plant grow, so I'll give 10 times as much water on the plant as necessary, and it'll grow 10 times as fast. No, it'll die. So you can't force it. There's nothing to do to force it. It has its own time. And if it's done nicely, and that's why Srila Prabhupada didn't make much of an issue of it. His issue was you chant Hare Krishna without offense, and you do your service nicely, and then everything will develop properly. And if it's not developing, then you have to examine, what is it that I'm not doing right? And generally it's found in our chanting. Something else.
I was just wondering, what is the devotees talk about the clearing stage of chanting?
The what?
Like the clearing stage of chanting, namabath. I was a bit confused. Does that mean that if you chant but you desire to stop committing offences, is that classed as namabath? Or
if you're not committing offences, but at the same time, the results of sinful activities are still there. So one thing is to commit offenses, and then of course there's the burden of our past deeds is there, and that creates obstacles galore. And then when we commit offense to chanting Hare Krishna, then we're creating new obstacles, which are actually even more problematic than the obstacles that we come to Krishna consciousness with. Because those are as a consequence of performing sinful activities, and they're relatively easier to be free from than, for instance, committing Vaishnava Aparadha. And they take the Vaishnava Aparadha results are much more long-lasting. They're very difficult to shake off or to purify. So that's offensive. When one commits offenses to the Holy Name, you know what the 10 offenses are. You stop committing offenses. Not that you want to stop. You stop. You stop committing offenses. But still, you don't get the full benefit of the Holy Name, because if you committed offenses, those effects are there. And also, those anarthas which we come with, which are sort of part of our mind, our body, our karma, they need to be purified. And until they're actually purified, you can't chant Hare Krishna purely. So that becomes the clearing stage. You're clearing, you're cleaning means that you're not making anything dirty anymore. There's no dirtiness going, but you have to clean. So you're clearing it. And when you've cleaned it, when all of those when everything is clean in the heart, then you can chant purely. And when you can chant purely, then with pure chanting, then you get love for Krishna. Is that okay? So, Yadi Vaishnava Parade Vidhi Mata. So these things one has to be very, very careful of. We've got enough problems being in Kali Yuga. We have a wonderful opportunity to perfect ourselves, and we should really be careful that we don't make more problems than we've already got. We're already manda, sumanda, manda bhagya, and now we don't have to make ourselves more manda and more submanda and more bhagya, manda bhagya. So Vaishnavas are very, very careful, and how to be careful? Chinadapi sunichena, tolodeva sadhishnana, amanena, manadena. Otherwise, if the Holy Name doesn't manifest, Kirtaniya Sadahari, if the Holy Name doesn't manifest under those conditions, then that means Krishna doesn't. So Krishna only accepts humble Vaishnavas. And if someone's very humble and meek and tolerant, then Krishna, the Holy Name, will not accept that person. So we need to, that's what we're trying to learn. And that's what really means, that's what it means to be a servant. That's the quality of a servant. And of course, something that His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj always emphasizes, that how do you get that? By serving Vaishnavas. Be the servant of the Vaishnavas. Don't even think of yourself as the servant of Krishna. Don't even think of yourself as the servant of the spiritual master. As soon as you exclude someone, well, I'll serve this one, but I won't serve that one. No, you'd be the servant of the servant, and serve any Vaishnava. Because you don't know who it is. You know, there's a story where Lord Shiva comes knocking on someone's door in the guise of a beggar. Krishna may come knocking on your door in the guise of a beggar. Krishna may come in the guise of Vaishnava. We should offer respects to all Vaishnavas, big Vaishnavas, small Vaishnavas. And Bhaktisundarvaji Goswami is talking very detailed about 10 offenses, about Vaishnava Aparad. So he explains it's not just committing offense to advanced Vaishnavas or someone in some higher position, any. So one has to be very careful, one to cultivate that mood. It's a very, very nice mood. It's a very sweet mood. And that's very much visible when you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, what are the interactions of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How they behave, how they cultivate their relationships with each other. So who was that who ate mango pits from everyone? Jadatakur, right? Jadatakur. So you just go around, and because ultimately these are the things. Bhakta Pada Duli, or Bhakta Pada Jal, Bhakta Bhunti Avashini, Tina Mahabhav. So the water that washes the Vaishnava's feet, the dust, and the remnants of their food. You know, Lord Brahma was shocked. How can he be eating food with these Vaishyas? It can't be Bhagavan. Why would Bhagavan be eating with these Vaishya children? So, why? Because he thinks, I'm a Brahmana. I'm the origin of the Brahmanas. And therefore, Bhagavan means, no. Krishna's also Das, Das, and the Das. He's also servant of servant of servant. And he wants to see that manifest in his devotees. And so he humbles them. Just one truth. Either you become humble voluntarily, or Krishna, it's like, you know, the storm comes along. They had a big storm in Scotland just now, isn't it? 100-mile-an-hour winds. So either you bend with the wind, or the wind will bend you anyway, or you break. So as long as we want to become devotees, either we do things voluntarily, or Krishna's part is putting on the pressure. And it's very, you know, Krishna puts on the pressure, then he just looks tighter and tighter and tighter. And he doesn't think what the GBC thinks, or he doesn't think what the CPO thinks, or they just, it gets tighter and tighter and tighter. And, or what we think, or because ultimately he just wants us to become Vaishnavas. And he's very determined to bring us all to that type of devotional service that's really pure, where we're not getting in the way. Someone else? Is it going to be problematic playing that harmonium?
It's okay. It's just not very loud.
Uh-huh.
I heard that to go to Gauraka Vrindavan, we first need to take birth on Mangala Vrindavan, Vrindavan on Earth. Is that correct, or do you think you can expand on
it? Well, to perfect one's devotional service, part of perfecting devotional service is that one should live in Vrindavan. So we live in Vrindavan physically, we visit Vrindavan, and best of all is that you live in Vrindavan in your consciousness. But yes, you can't. It's like you don't go to a place that you don't know about, or that you haven't even thought about. You know, just like pop in. What does anyone want to do if they're going to go visit China? It's the first thing you do. You go to a shop and you buy a book on China, and then you go to the Chinese restaurant. Don't go to the Chinese restaurant. And you want to... And things like that, you find out about the place. So, same thing. In order to go to Krishna, then, yes, part of the sadhana is, and that you see in Brihat Bhagavatam Mita, is that, for instance, when avatars in Vaikuntha, and his scope of Krishna consciousness is expanding. It's very interesting what happens, because Brihad Bhagavatamrita is about a pure devotee who's trying to get to Goloka, and the question is, well, if he's a pure devotee, why is he having problem getting into Goloka? And the answer is because he doesn't have sufficient knowledge. He doesn't know where it is. He doesn't really even necessarily know who Krishna is. Doesn't know anything about Krishna's associates. Doesn't know anything about bhakti ras. He doesn't know about sadhana. So until he learns these things, he's just going from one place to another to learn. And then when he's in Dwarka, and he's meeting in private with Narad and Uddhava, then they explain to him some of the intricacies of where Goloka Vrindavan is and where this Gopal is that he's worshipping. But they say, now first you have to go back to earth, go back to Vrindavan. And you go over there and you practice, and then from there he goes to Goloka. Which, well, at least when Sanatana Goswami is describing it, Goloka Vrindavan looks exactly like Bomar Vrindavan. Hope it doesn't look like Bomar Vrindavan today. With factories and McDonald's and golfing courses and things like that. But they look identical. Spiritual world looks like the material world. And that's where they think they are. They don't think I'm in the Goloka Vrindavan. They think that they're in the material world, that Krishna's an ordinary cowherd boy. And they're cowherd men who are wandering throughout the universe as a consequence of their karma. So that's why they can't tell the difference between that one and this one. Same thing when Krishna showed the cowherd men spiritual world at Akura Ghat, and they saw that, because they wanted to know, are we going to attain perfection after Krishna lifted up Govardhan Hill? Is Krishna actually Narayan, and are we going back to Godhead? So in order to reassure them, Krishna showed them the spiritual world. And they saw that the spiritual world was exactly where they were, that they already were back to Godhead, and that in the spiritual world, that's they were already there. So they felt reassured. They saw the things as well. They saw, again, Brahmajyoti and so on, and they saw Vaikuntha. There's different narrations as to actually what it was that they saw. But this is part of the sadhana. Just like chanting Hare Krishna is, they chant Hare Krishna there, we chant Hare Krishna here. It's the same mantra. But here, you do it differently than there. There they do Prem Sankirtan. Here, we try to sing, like we talk about being free from offenses and practice. There they do. For them, they're called rag atmika. Rag means spontaneous love, and atma means that their whole being is just, they don't make any effort for anything in relationship to Krishna. Everything is spontaneous, everything is full of love, everything is natural. And they don't know anything else other than Krishna. There's no material energy, there's no maya for them. Everything is just Krishna. Their whole existence is around Krishna. They may have families, they may have homes, they may have cows, they may have other things, but these things are only valuable because of Krishna. So the mothers love their sons. Why? Because they're Krishna's friends. Not that my son has a friend who's Krishna. No, they love their sons because, well, if he's Krishna's friend, then I love him. So everything is everything. And when we live like that, when everything is around Krishna, then that becomes Vrindavan. It doesn't matter where you are. It automatically becomes Vrindavan. When Krishna becomes the center of everything, of our lives, of our family, our home, our society, and ideally this world, if that were possible, then you would see we're in Goloka Vrindavan. Goloka Vrindavan is not a physical place, it's a matter of consciousness. Consciousness automatically manifests the Dham. You don't have to go anywhere. Sort of make all these gestures that you go up and up and up, but it's all here. It's just a matter of Krishna consciousness. It's a matter of purifying our consciousness. Well, just a little report, and then we can chant Hare Krishna. What time is it? 8:10. Yes, we're here. London, in England, and then on Monday we're coming up to Stockholm for a few days, and then from there go back to Hungary, a very short period of time, because this year is a Purushottam Mass comes in. So that means that our tribute meetings are really early, starting at the end of the month. I have to be in Mayapur in 2.5 weeks. And we'll be in England until the beginning of, not August, April. Till the beginning of April. Then we'll go back to Hungary, and we'll be moving Radha Shyam Sundar back from their temporary facilities to the new altar. That's on 18th, 19th. Everyone is welcome, provided that you inform us in advance or you make arrangements. And we'll have a nice festival on that weekend, especially we're making it a weekend long, because then probably a lot of devotees will come on a Friday and they'll leave on a Sunday evening or Monday. Especially from the UK, easy. So if you're planning to come, we'll send out invitations, but it's 18th, 19th of April, Saturday, Sunday. And then beyond that, I don't have plans. I have to arrange for some medical treatment again here in the UK, and then based on when doctors are available, then I can sort of make my schedule for next year. And my original plan was that I submitted 2 years to GBC, that now as of March 2015 I wouldn't be GBC any longer. Looks like that may get postponed 1 year just due to certain technicalities, but anyway, it's in the pipeline and things are moving forward. And my hope is that that gives me an opportunity to spend somewhat more time as this thing sort of loosen up in terms of workload, to come to the UK. Even now, that's why I only came for 2 weeks this time, because it's so short between the Sankirtan festival and then coming here, going back, and being back in Mayapur. I have to go through Moscow on the way. I bought the ticket before the trouble started. Okay. Anything else of urgency? Anything practical to answer? And I don't know. I guess I will be back sometime during the year. It may be in April, maybe in summer. for that, but then it'll probably be the end of the year again before I come back, or that's the beginning of next year. But you're all welcome to come. Keep that in mind, April 18, 19. And I'll be having usual festivals in Hungary, or there's other nice opportunities for visiting New Vrindavan, particularly when there's not a festival. The devotees want to know what that type of life is like as well. When there's a festival, then you don't get to know what's really going on, because everyone's so busy chanting Hare Krishna and taking care of the festivities that the really farm life just sort of fades into the background. Okay, well, we'll chant Hare Krishna, and thank you all for coming, and then afterwards, well, I have a list of longest of devotees to talk to. I may not succeed today, maybe some tomorrow as well. It's been a very intense program. I'm just going to ask Ashram Bihari, and from morning to night, and or Taraknath, who's been driving us here and there and entertaining us in the process. That's what I miss in Hungary. I don't have any humor, or at least same level of what's it called? Okay, try this one on you. Let's see how we do in terms of talking with the bodies. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai, Ishwara Gokulanda ki Jai, Jai Nitai Gopremandi.